right, you guys, let's listen up. We won a game yesterday. And if we win one today, that's two in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.
Hollywood loves winning streaks and losing streaks and hitting streaks, putting streaks, and three-point shooting streaks. There's always a good plot line behind them. In 1989's Major League, the hapless Cleveland Indians go on a winning streak to spite the owner who wants to move the team to a warmer climate. ESPN and your local newspaper like streaks too. But here's something I learned last week at the 2012 Joint Mathematics Meetings in Boston. Mathematicians don't like streaks.
There's a narrative you have to create that says so-and-so clearly did this well because he's hot right now, because his wife just gave birth to a kid, so he's on fire.
Fact is, says Chris Jones, professor of mathematics at St. Mary's College of California, the narrative we assign to a streak is often just our brain trying to explain something that happens quite naturally.
You can have a computer be streaky, right? You can toss a coin 10 times and get 6 heads in a row. It doesn't mean the coin was on fire or hot or whatever phrase you would use if it was a sports person. It just means that happens sometimes, even if it's a 50-50 coin.
And that's not the only narrative mathematicians say the sports world gets wrong. Certainly you've heard that the only fair way to choose an NCAA football champion would be to hold a playoff, right? You might have heard it on this very program from Dan Wetzel of Yahoo Sports.
They have to do something. Look, we're one result away from the entire month of December not mattering at all. If they can make it into a four-team playoff, at the very least, then it would be a massive step forward for the sport.
When the commissioners of the 11 Football Bowl Series conferences met on Tuesday, they considered 50 or 60 different proposals for change, reportedly including a 4-team playoff, 8-team playoff, and 16-team playoff. But the changes that need to be made to the BCS system have nothing to do with a playoff, at least not according to Mike Weimerskirch of Augsburg College in Minnesota.
Another possibility is to use the fee, which is the CDF of the standard normal distribution. Perhaps that will give us the probabilities that A will beat B.
Okay, I have no idea what change Professor Weimerskirch is suggesting. I haven't taken a math class since the ever-patient Mr. Lockwood got me through AP Calculus during my senior year at 29 Palms High School. But one thing is clear. Weimerskirch believes a playoff would be mathematically less fair than the current system.
The mantra of the statistician is data is good. If you have a 16-team playoff, you're deciding the national champion on the basis of 15 games, and you're ignoring the 700 games that are played during the regular season.
Weimerskirch shakes his head at results that discount the regular season, and there are a lot of them. The Green Bay Packers winning last season's Super Bowl as a wild card. The St. Louis Cardinals winning the 2011 World Series also as a wild card. And the University of Connecticut men's basketball team, who finished 9-9 in their conference but won the 2011 NCAA championship. Weimerskirch likens winning 6 games in March Madness to that coin coming up heads 6 times in a row. And the proposal for a 16-team football playoff, the one that NCAA President Mark Emmert won't support because it would require too much of the players, that would only require winning 4 games in a row.
There are lots of teams in the country that can go on a 4-game winning streak. Northwestern University went on a 4-game winning streak this year, but nobody thinks that they should have been in the national championship game. That when you boil things down to a very short-lived tournament, the outcome is a lot more like flipping coins than deciding it on the football field.
If you need more proof that playoffs don't necessarily result in the better team coming home with the trophy, consider this. Brian McDonald, assistant professor of mathematics at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, says since 2000, the team with a better regular season record in Major League Baseball and the NFL only won the playoff matchup 50% of the time. For the NHL, the statistic is even lower.
Peter Brand.
Really?
How are you? Hi, how are you doing?
Nice to see you.
Good to have you here.
Billy Beane and Peter Brand reinvented the way the Oakland A's evaluated players, and Brad Pitt turned their story into a blockbuster movie. If an NHL team sees fit to hire Brian McDonald, he won't count wins or even goals. He'll start by counting shots, blocked shots, and missed shots.
And I don't think there's any coaches that go into the locker room at the end of this second period saying, we're playing really well. We're down 1-0. What we really need in this third period is way more missed shots than we've had in the previous two periods.
McDonald says shots, missed, blocked, or successful, are indicators of some very important things in hockey, like possession and territorial advantage. And unlike goals, they're not usually based on luck. Here's another one. Have you heard that this is the era of the quarterback? According to experts, a disproportionate number of the best quarterbacks in history just so happen to be playing right now. Aaron Rodgers set a new record-high quarterback passer rating this season, replacing Peyton Manning in the top spot. Before this season even began, 51 of the top 100 scorers, according to the quarterback passer rating, set their mark since 2000, and 71 since 1990, which didn't seem quite right to Paul Von Dohlen of William Patterson University.
I actually feel bad for the guys who played in a much tougher system where the rules did not favor the offense, and they had to take a lot more hits. They weren't as protected by the rules. And so it's important to give them their due as well.
So Professor Von Dohlen is suggesting some changes that he hopes will allow for better comparisons between quarterbacks who played under different rules. But like any good mathematician, he doesn't do so without considering the pros and cons.
So what are the advantages of the statistic as it is? Well, it's simple. At least we think it's simple.
Want in on the joke? The simple quarterback passer rating equation reads like this. C divided by A minus 0.3 over 0.2 plus Y divided by A minus 3 over 4 plus T divided by A over 0.05 plus 0.095 minus I divided by A over 0.04. Then all you have to do is multiply the result by 100 over 6. Simple. If all of this math seems to be spoiling the fun of sitting down and watching a game, if, like me, you're not sure you want to be a sports fan in a world where streaks mean nothing, the best team doesn't win the playoffs, and the best quarterback in history might have retired before you were born, Roland Minton of Roanoke College suggests you reconsider.
I use the analogy of looking up at the stars, and some people want to see them twinkling and beautiful, and that's all they want to think about. For me, knowing that behind that is a big gaseous ball and galaxies orbiting each other, that just makes the whole thing truly awesome in the real sense of that word.
Like most of the professors who participated in last week's session on mathematics and sports, Minton uses sports analogies to get his students excited about math. It works, he says, and he has one more sports assumption to debunk before he's through.
I haven't exactly counted numbers, but my experience has been it's really equally interesting and exciting for each of the genders. There are some people that don't like sports. Some of them are guys, some of them are women, and I haven't seen any difference.
So once again, we expect a statistical
That's
difference,
right.
And there just isn't one.
That's right. Spoiling everybody's fun again.
It might have taken a full day of dizzying math lectures, but finally, a statistical conclusion that I do not find to be dismaying, worrying, or even all that surprising. I guess math isn't so bad after all.
Do you know how to add, how to multiply and divide? You're as smart as a tack. Do you know how the rules apply?
Only a Game is produced by Doug Tribou. Our technical director is John Ferrati. Our intern is Jeremy Conlin. We had help this week from Tom Barkley at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. to view photos from Rumford, Maine, or to learn more about this week's music, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Our final word comes from mathematician Mike Weimerskirch, who offers a reason why BCS voters so often mess up the rankings.
They might like the shiny helmets.
Very unscientific, Mike, but you're probably right. I'm Karen Given. Thanks for listening. Bill Littlefield returns next week.
The rules start to change when we start to multiply. T turns to X, but we still keep the equal sign. Remember that zero times anything, anything.
Support comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org. And the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for improving education and enrichment for children both in and out of school, at wallacefoundation.org. This is NPR.